I will ascend. I'm going up. I will exalt. I will sit. I will ascend again. I will be like. That's telling you, the devil's thinking, what? Buddy, I'm moving up. I'm moving up. Notice he didn't say I was going to move above. I'm going to be like. I'm going to be equal to God. I'll be like the Most High. You know, the whole worldly kingdom is designed for the devil to have his own kingdom like God. And he's actually set up the system in the world to govern it, to parallel God's kingdom. You want to see a reflection of God's kingdom? Just look at the devil's kingdom. He took his whole entourage of angels, submitted to him, and failed. Now, he might have got some of his angels. He might have got some of Gabriel's angels, some of Michael's angels. We don't know what angels failed. People take it for granted that the devil took a third of his angels. But no, it doesn't say that. He just said he took a third of the angels. So he might have just went around making deals. He probably went to Michael, Gabriel, everybody, Raphael, Sinclair. Hey, the ones who remain faithful, they're secure. But he made the deal with everybody, and the ones that went for it fell with him. Yet you shall be brought down. Notice how all the I wills going up. God's response is, I'm going to bring you down, man. You coming down. All the hip hop boys, man, you coming down. Tupac went up. Tupac came down. Biggie Smalls went up. Biggie Smalls came down. Michael Jackson went up. Michael Jackson came down. Whitney Houston went up. Whitney Houston came down. Luther Vandross went up. Luther Vandross came down. Elvis went up. Elvis came down. The Beatles went up. The Beatles came down. He can't leave you up now, because the judgment is you got to come down. God says, I'll bring you down. Whenever you think up, look up, you have grandiose delusions inside of you. Delusions of grandeur. I'm all that. You're coming down. When you were strutting around the club thinking you was fine and you got that dude and you laid up with him, you thought you was hot stuff. Look at you now. You came down. Because you thought you were all that. Anybody thinking they're all that is going to come down. The devil tries to ascend and go up, and God's remedy is, I will bring you down to hell, to the sides of the pit. They that see thee shall narrowly look upon thee and consider thee, saying, is this the man? Now, here's an example of the King James Version of the Bible that you have to know is not right. The word there for man in the Hebrew is not man. It's the word for a fellow or a person. So it'll leave you thinking he's talking about a man, but he's not. He's talking about a personality. So you got to correct that, and some other versions of the Bible correct it. That's how you got to rightly divide the word of truth. That's why a King James Version only person without the rightful division of the Bible will read that and not know what it's saying. I'll tell you another phrase that you got to rightly divide in the Bible. You know, in the New Testament where it says that somebody was possessed of a demon, that's not the right Greek translation of that. It should be under the inspiration of a demon. What difference does it make? You ever heard a Christian say a Christian can't have a demon? And here's the logic they use. Because we're possessed of the Holy Spirit, so God cannot allow a demon to possess what the Holy Spirit possesses. That's why that translation is wrong. It's not possessed by a demon. It's under the inspiration of a demon. So you can be inspired by a demon, but not possessed by the demon. Like Peter was. When Jesus says, get thee behind me, Satan. You savor, or you're concerned about the things of men and not the things of God. He was under the inspiration of Satan. He was talking through Peter. Now Judas was possessed by Satan. The Bible says, and then Satan entered him. And Jesus spoke to Satan and said, what thou doest, do quickly. And the boy got up like a zombie. You ever seen these movies called like Zombie Apocalypse and World War Z and The Walking Dead? The devil gets a person possessed and they're just a zombie. That's what a zombie is down in Haiti or down in Jamaica. They got zombies for real walking around. They said they came back from the dead. No, they didn't die. They were demonized, and now they're a zombie walking around looking crazy. In the streets, just walking around, demon possessed. And don't worry, we're going to see a lot of them down here. Demon possessed. You look at your kid and you look in their eyes and trying to figure out, what are you? Who are you? From whence did you come? My wife was telling me about a lady today, said her son told her, said, you don't know who I am. I'm not who you think I am. And she said, not knowing anything about it, she said, I know that was my son. That was some kind of an entity. I was driving down the street up here in Atlanta. Guy wanted something, you know, how they stay on the side of the street, begging for food. You know, alms for the poor, alms for the poor. I said, hey, man, I'm not going to give you the money because you might go get drunk or get some dope. Get in the car. I'll take you over here to the chicken place and buy you a dinner to make sure you're going to eat. So I picked the guy up, homeless guy on the street, begging, took him to the Mr. Bojangles or whatever it was, I don't know, what, Kentucky Fried Chicken or Popeyes or somewhere. So on the way, he looked at me and said, Ronnie's not here. I'm thinking, Lord, have mercy, here we go. Why did I pick this guy up? He said, Ronnie's not here. I said, oh yeah, who are you? I'm not Ronnie. I said, you want this chicken I'm about to buy? I don't care if you get the chicken or not. Ronnie might want some chicken. He started talking third person. You know, I'm thinking, this is all right. It don't bother me. You know, it's fine with me. Demons, you have to calm down around demons. You watch church people, how hyped up they get around demons. You know, demons show up in a service or something, they get all hyped up. Get a rag. Call the police. Relax. That's a disembodied person. It's not that big. They flare up in that crazy, so you'll respond to them. That's why they do what they do. You can't respond to them. It is what it is. You got to stay relaxed dealing with the devil, not get all hyped up and responding and reacting to him. Because then he'll take authority and you'll be responding to his inputs. Don't get hyped up dealing with the devil. He's a fallen being. You see, he's cast down to hell. He says, is this the person that made the earth to tremble, that did shake kingdoms, that made the world as a wilderness and destroyed the cities thereof and opened not the houses of his what? These people are prisoners of war. Yes. They're bound. Yes. When you're looking at a person, recognize the fact that they're a prisoner, they're bound, they're chained up. You know you're not talking to a normal human. Listen to their responses. Listen to the conversation. Listen to the answers they give you. There's something wrong with them. They're bound. They're chained up. He opened not the house of his prisoners. All the kings of the nations, even all of them, lie in glory, every one in his own house. But you are cast out of thy grave like an abominable branch, a detestable branch. You're nasty. You're perverse. And as the raiment of those that are slain thrust through with a sword that go down to the stones of the pit, as a carcass trodden under feet, you shall not be joined with them in burial, because you have destroyed thy land and slain thy people. The seed of evildoers shall never be renowned. Prepare slaughter for his children. The devil has offspring. For the iniquity of their fathers, that they do not arise nor possess the land nor fill the face of the world with cities. For I will rise up against them, saith the Lord of hosts, and cut off from Babylon the name and remnant and son and nephew, saith the Lord. He's destroying everybody that's appended to the devil. Like the man said, David Paulson, they're perished. They're useless. They're vessels of dishonor. God is going to just take all that and throw it into the pit of hell and let it burn forever like it's an incinerator. I will also make it a possession for the bittern and pools of water, and I will sweep it with the broom of destruction, saith the Lord of hosts. So you see now, this creature, Hallel, Lucifer, has fallen. Isaiah 14:12 calls him Lucifer. He is known by a lot of different names. Look at 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5, we're looking at Hallel and what he became to show you what we're about to become. Remember now, we're exchanging places with Hallel. He used to be the one shouting hallelujah as a projection of who he was. His name was Hallel, praising the Lord. He was leading the praise and worship of God. Therefore, he was glorifying God. Praise and worship shines the spotlight on God. The right word for it is adoration. You light up God. He's an illuminated one. He was like a huge spotlight on God. And when he praised and worshiped, he lit up to adore and to glamorize and to make God the apple of everybody's eye. God was due worship. There is no entity in the universe that is due worship other than God. Nothing, nowhere, nobody can be worshiped but God. To worship anyone or anything else other than God is called idolatry. To the degree that you worship a pair of tennis shoes and beat a guy half to death to get a pair of tennis shoes at the mall when Nike brings out another set of Jordans. You see how warped a human being is? Everybody thinks about how I look to people. That's the homosexual spirit. To be self-conscious of how you look to other people is the very root of the homosexual spirit, because I'm into me. So you see, 1 Peter chapter 5, look at verse 8. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. So right there you have the two names of the devil that are germane to his character. Adversary is the word for Satan. Satan means adversary. The name immediately says Satan, adversary, the devil, is walking around seeing whom he may devour. Now understand this about Satan. He was Hallel anciently. He's known as Lucifer, the light bearer, or the illuminated one. He's known as Satan, the adversary. He's called the devil, which means an accuser or a slanderer. So the devil's going to accuse you now. When you begin to deal with him, he's going to turn on you and accuse you. That's what he does. He's an adversary to resist you. And as he's resisting you, he's also accusing you of what you did and who what you said and who you are and your sins. How are you going to tell me, knowing your background? He accuses the brethren day and night before God. He accuses God, accuses us to God by outlining our shortcomings. Have you considered your servant Job? God asked the devil. He says, skin for skin. You lift your hand off of him, he'll curse you to your face. A man will give anything for his skin is what he's saying. Skin for skin. Hey, if you touch his body, if you begin to deal with him, he's not going to remain faithful. That's an accusation. That's what he's telling God about you and me. If I attack them, if you let me have access, all that stuff about Jesus and remaining faithful and loving you, man, they'll abdicate that stuff and they'll depart from you because I'm going to attack and they'll blame you for it. And that's exactly what people do. They begin to outline what God allowed or what God did, not saying it's the devil doing it. That's why you got to sign on with God, remain faithful, and engage in the warfare. When you're in war against the devil, man, you won't let down and fall prey to Bathsheba because you remember David, when he fell, where was he at? Walking around goofing off on the rooftop. And the Bible says it was time for kings to go out to war. He's a boob walking on the rooftop looking around and got right into the devil's snare. If you stay engaged in the conflict, nobody in Vietnam in a firefight is talking about some fine babe on a stripper stage. You got incoming. You got folk, got bullets whizzing over your head, bombs blowing up. You're not thinking about fornication. Not right now, man. There's some guy next to you. Hey, man, have you seen the latest Playboy spread? Man, look, you probably shoot him. See, in conflict, you're not thinking about the luxuries of life and trying to be some little wimpy little sissy boy trying to suck your thumb. You got incoming, man. We're in the middle of a heated battle, and you're talking about this garbage? Are you crazy? That's what we got to get to. We got to engage the church in war with the devil so people will stop talking about secondary and tertiary things. All this junk that doesn't matter, you're bringing this garbage up and no one cares. Did you see what so-and-so said on Facebook? About, nobody care about that garbage. Grow up, man up, woman up. Get on some combat boots and a helmet, man. We're spending too much time talking about nothingness, and the devil's just having a heyday, just having a jamboree down here with nobody confronting him. So you see now, adversary is Satan. The devil is an accuser and a slanderer. So you see the names of the devils, Hallel, Lucifer, Satan, and the devil. Now, remember, devil, slanderer and accuser is not a name for him. It is a title for him. In other words, it's a description of what he does. See, every other name, Hallel, the praise leader, Lucifer, the light bearer, Satan, the adversary, these are names for him. But devil is a description of what he does. He's a slanderer and an accuser. So now, there's one Satan. There are many devils. Notice how Jesus had devils in plural form. He's the prince of the devils. He called Judas Iscariot a devil. He's an accuser. He's a slanderer. So there are a lot of devils that make up the devil's flock. It's an attribute of the devil to accuse and to slander. Folks are going to tell bold-faced black lies on you from here on out. Laws will be changed to make us the evil ones. Hate speech in Canada, you already have the homosexuals traveling to churches to see if the preacher's going to say anything hateful about a homosexual so they can bring a lawsuit against him. That's coming, right? It's just across the border now. It's just all you got to step across the border, and it's here. You can see the laws metamorphosizing and changing right before our very eyes now. The normal, wholesome, everyday person will be evil. And perverts and freaks will be normal. You got to get ready for that. So when you open your mouth with a normal statement, you're going to be seen and ostracized as abnormal. The Bible says in Daniel, he'll change laws and seasons. He's going to change the very fabric of culture to make that which is normal illegal. What we need right now is Andy Taylor, Father Knows Best, you know, Ward Cleaver, these kind of guys. You remember the guys off the old My Three Sons shows and stuff? Just a normal family guy raising his family, going to work every day. A normal Joe, a working Joe. That guy is hated. A normal family man is despised by the devil. He hates him. A woman that will accentuate and will assimilate into that environment and complement and supplement that man is despised more than the man. Because, see, the devil's format is to have a man fight a two-front war. You fight the devil out here in the atmosphere and in the environment, and you go home and you're sleeping with the devil. Sleeping with the enemy. I'm fighting a two-front war. I'm in the streets out here fighting with demons and hell, and I go home and I walk right into a Jezebel spirit and the devil's at my house. It works the same for women. A woman of war fighting the devil in the streets, going home to an Ahab spirit. Luann, what you gonna cook tonight? Yeah, I'm fighting the devil, and here the devil is meeting me at the door talking about what I'm gonna cook. That's what we got. We got folks fighting a two-front war when God is saying if you come together as man and woman, husband and wife, put together the nuclear family, now you come together and two shall put what? A thousand to flight. You'll have a legion fleeing. It's one of us, 1,000. What is it? Two of us, 10,000? See, that's what I'm saying. Here we are, not unifying to replicate and magnify the power. Now you get the family unit that is naturally nuclear and righteous in church where people are in divine order and bring them together in church. Man, you got replicated power that's geometric and it's exponential. You got an explosion of power because everybody's in right standing and everybody's male and female, husband and wife. The family just expands into church. That's why you have patriarchal authority in church. It's reflective of the home. A male leader in church is proven in his home. The Bible says you got to govern your own home well to qualify for leadership in the church. So you just transfer the home and you get collective homes in church families and it never changes. You come to church and stand it on his head. You put a man in authority in his home under authority of a woman in church. That's perverted and you are making the church profane. And God is doing what? Cast you out of the stones of fire. Cast you off of his holy mountain. Get out of here with that garbage. And folks don't like it. Why? Because I want to do what I want to do. I will ascend. I will exalt. I will be like the Most High. Then they go to this. Well, the Spirit teaches me. The Bible says you have no need for any man to teach you. I got along with God like Paul did down in Arabia for 3 years. And that's where I learned everything. I don't have a need for man. Every time you hear somebody talking that no need for man stuff too viciously, get away from them. Because he gave some apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers to perfect the saints to do the work of the ministry. This still on? This come through speakers, okay? And see, that's what I'm saying. The power is coming from God to do the job, but we have to stay engaged. We have to know that God is doing what he's doing, and God is serious about what he's doing, but we can't change what God has already set up. What he set up is how it is. It's not changing for anybody. We have to conform to God because he's not going to conform to us. I am the Lord thy God. I change not. How he organized and set it up, male and female, man and woman, is how it is. This is going, it's going to, it's certain things that are actually, that will trigger conflict in the religious environment. One, female pastors in the church. Two, homosexuality and sodomy. What I mean by sodomy is oral sex. See, oral sex amongst heterosexuals will trigger a war because they're sodomites. Go to Webster's, it'll tell you that oral sex, oral copulation, and anal copulation is sodomy. See, what's disempowering the church? Sodomites in the church pretending to be heterosexuals and normal people when in fact they're sodomites. Notice, go and study yourself in the Old Testament how many times God said there are sodomites amongst you. As long as these sodomites are in your midst, I can't move. So the sodomites are in church houses everywhere, and they hate any discussion on righteousness. Why do you think church people jump to the defense of homosexuality? Because they're doing the same things. The Bible says you that judge, you judge unlawfully in Romans chapter 1 and 2 because you do what? You do the same thing. So they can't say anything about what they're doing because the homosexual engaging in oral sex with his partner is doing the same thing that woman is doing to her husband last night. How can you be taken aback by what he did when your husband just sodomized you last night? The lesbian is doing the same thing that your husband did to you last night. So it's not offensive to me. I have a taste for urine, feces, and menstrual blood just like them. So we're one and the same. Profane. I mention it, they get offended. Why are you offended? Folks, show me chapter and verse where that's in the Bible. Well, I like to eat feces dropped by a Great Dane. That's what I like. Well, you can't do that. That's show me chapter and verse in the Bible where I can't eat the feces of a dog. You show me that chapter and verse. You can't. So therefore, it's valid. See, the logic is skewed. What I can't show you in the Bible is valid. That's skewed logic. Why doesn't God mention stuff in the Bible that he doesn't mention? He takes for granted that you, as a normal person that's clean, would have enough sense not to do the filthy mess. And now you want God to tell you something that a moron would know not to do. Well, I'm serving spaghetti, and you come to my house. And I say, just go to the toilet, the first one on the right in that bathroom, and the spaghetti's in that toilet. You'll find the sauce, meatballs, and everything down in the toilet. I think it's meatballs. It might be something else. But anyway, take your chances. There'll be a glass of lemonade and some fresh bread on the rim of the toilet. Enjoy your meal. That's what kind of sense oral sex makes. You engage in oral sex with a man, you're drinking down the remnants of urine. Women, menstrual blood, urine, and her vagina is really closely allied with her anus. So you're getting fecal matter. And you got an appetite for it. You got to have somebody tell you in detail from the Bible not to do it. The problem is you're demonized. You need deliverance from an unclean spirit that has you with unclean, filthy appetites just driving you into insanity. You become the Gadarene demoniac, wanting to eat all this unclean filth where body waste is eliminated, and it creates World War III in the church to bring that up. You see how far removed people are from God? You see how far people are away from God now, claiming to be saved. They'll hear this message, some of them, and just be like, I never saw it like that. You never saw it like that. What other way were you seeing it? But when the devil has your mind and your appetites are driven and under the auspices of a demon, he'll metamorphosize your appetite to fit his. And you'll do things you never thought you'd do and can't see it until it's revealed to you. Somebody has to show you systematically. Somebody has to show you systematically that you're doing something absolutely crazy. That makes no sense. I might be hitting it. It makes no sense. So that's why you got to get with God and let God make you over from the inside out to dispatch these appetites from you. See, it's one thing to repent of doing it. Now you got to be expunged and cleansed from the damage done by it. The demons, the filth, the mind that's been contaminated by it. All that has to be scrubbed clean. And that's a work of the Holy Ghost and the washing and regeneration by the Word of God that accomplishes that purpose. So you see now, we're moving into a holy place that the devil has vacated. We pick up spiritual blockages inside of us that hinder us. God's whole desire is to remove the blockages. And one of the greatest ways to remove the blockage is through unbridled praise of God. Get by yourself and turn up the music loud and just loose yourself in God's presence through doing what the devil was supposed to do before he fell. Unbridled worship of God and lifting God up at your expense. We should become vessels of praise in order to restore what the devil destroyed in heaven. We are God's replacement for Lucifer. Hallel, his ancient name, Hallel. Hallelujah is an expression of the fact that we are replacing Hallel. Hallel wouldn't praise you, but we say hallelujah anyhow in replacing him. Praise ye Jehovah. Letting the devil know what you won't do, I will do. Where you won't go, I am going. What you lost, I am attaining to. I am displacing and replacing you, man. I'm switching positions. That's how you get above him. That's how you arise above him to a place of exaltation over him. What did the devil have? What did he walk in that he lost that we're going to get back? One last scripture, we'll wrap it up. Isaiah chapter 10. Isaiah chapter 10 and you'll see how to get the devil off of your back once and for all. I'm going to show you how to get rid of the devil now. If you'll worship God in spirit and in truth, if you'll attend to the higher levels of God, if you'll seek God, if you will just make God the central focus of your life and magnify him and all, above everything else, if you'll finally repent and just lose any affiliation or any accommodation for the world, I mean, cut it off. Anything, all you got to do to make sure you're out of the world is one thing. Anything that even looks like the world, I stay away from it. Where they go, what they say, what they do, their phrases, their styles, how they dress, everything that's anything like them, I'm turning away from it. If it makes me feel like I'm around the devil, I'm getting rid of it. So I tell folks, get rid of the junk you had in the world that was appended to your sin. If you know the clothes you had in the world were all about seduction, all about trying to get somebody to sex you up, you tried to dress to be sexy instead of pretty. Get rid of that junk. All those thong draws and all that, and rope all up your behind, walking with rope tied up your butt. Walking through Walmart with rope on you, just crazy. And that way, the see-through stretch pants to make sure you see the rope. What kind of nasty dude? You wash those things? What, you bleach on them? What, you, how you get those clean? What's wrong with you? You crazy? Well, I mean, think about you. You bought this junk and went to Frederick Hollywood and bought the junk, and you walk around with rope tied all up, like you've been tied up, just roped all up, like you were roped, like you was a steer or something, just roped. What's wrong with you? It's crazy. The devil can make you crazy. I'm sexy. No, you need to be in an asylum, a sexy asylum, because you're crazy. And you bring it up, it's like, see, that offends me. You got that rope on. So you offended because you got on a set of the rope drawers. That's what's wrong with you. Throw that rope away. You'd like the people in Ephesus. You need to go out and burn that rope. Like they burn their witchcraft books. Go burn that rope you wearing. And get you some plain, ordinary, sensible drawers. My wife was, I wear panties, not drawers. You call them drawers. That's not correct. They're drawers, man, drawers. Take out those silly ropes and put on some decent underwear. That's a part of repentance. You walk away from the filth you did to make you feel sexy out there and thinking some old sissy drag guy looking at you like that was warning you. He knew you were a freak. These guys in the world look for freaks. They don't look for women. They want old freaky women that'll do anything. And what you're telling them is, hey, I'm willing to do anything. I'm one of them. Man, at some point, man, let it go. And that's what I say about guys trying to drag that old hip-hop stuff in the church. Man, come on, man. Stop all that. Stop all that. All these styles and all these hairstyles and all this stuff, that's for a woman. You know, what you going? Go and get a haircut and get out the chair and go on, man. No guy is that prissy. He done spent all this time trying to primp up and sissy up. And I think about you in the mirror as a woman. You get up in the morning, get dressed, put your earrings on. Next year is a 280-pound dude putting his earring, got his ear. Have you seen my clip, the back of my earring? I don't see it. I think, is it in your box with your, what you got an earring? What's wrong with you? No guy that I know is that prissy. When I came up, a guy was just an ordinary old dude, man, hanging around, rusty, stank, playing a little football, a little basketball or whatever. Now we got these prissy guys in a helmet. He got a football helmet on TV, take the helmet off, got on earrings and all the nose ring and nose jewels. And now he's got his eyes arched, his eyebrows arched. And what's wrong with you? What is wrong with you? You got all that girl in you, man. And you think you're a man, but really you're a girl. You're sensitive, you're emotional, you're easily offended. That's why athletes, you find very few athletes now in high school and college because they can't take the coach talking to them. And the mama jumping up, don't you be talking to my boy like that. You see how Puff Daddy did his son. But the coach, don't you be yelling at my son. Don't you be talking to my son like that. That's Puff Daddy, a man. That wasn't even his mama. That was his daddy. In college football. Well, I tell you what we're going to do with your son. You take your son and you take their junk out of my locker and you and your son get off the premises. This is how weak everything is, man. This is pitiful. And God is looking for a few good men. Just some guys to man up and some women to woman up with the men and get on with the prosecution of a war. And he's got to spend all this time converting people back to what he made in the first place. People are falling away from what God made them. He was trying to renew what we are, not what we do. Change what we are, and what we'll do will change. There's no appetite for effeminate things as a man. There's no guy. You should be, if you go past about 8 brush strokes, brushing your hair, is something wrong with you. You get up, you get out of the shower, your hair already wet, slop some Murray's in your head or some Dax or something. You want some waves? Okay, put a little Dax in there. Slap it with that brush about 8 times. Hey, I'm out. Choking there with a brush just rubbing his head. Trying to get naps built up. Nap brushes. Just. Let's see. Woo! Napping myself on out. You know what's wrong with you? You're crazy. You've been driven insane. Slap that brush in your head, man, and get out of there. This is crazy. And women actually like it. They've been so perverted to accommodate a homosexual, effeminate guy that they think it's normal. It looks good. The babes like me. The babes crazy, though. You got insane babes liking you. Revert back to normal, man. God is bringing everybody back around to normal. What are we after? What are we going to have restored in us to walk this thing out? Isaiah chapter 10, verse 20. Isaiah chapter 10, verse 20. And it shall come to pass in that day that the remnant of Israel and such are escaped of the house of Jacob shall no more again stay upon him that smote them, but shall stay upon the Lord, the Holy One of Israel in truth. So you won't any longer concentrate on the one that was destroying you. In other words, the devil is going to be ignored. We're going to concentrate on the Lord, the Holy One of Israel, in what? Truth. The remnant shall return, even the remnant of Jacob, unto the mighty God. For though thy people Israel be as the sand of the sea, yet a remnant of them shall return. The consummation decreed shall overflow with righteousness. For the Lord God of hosts shall make a consummation, a consumption, which means a destruction or a complete end. The Lord of hosts is going to make a consumption. He's going to destroy everything, even determine in the midst of all the land. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God of hosts, O my people that dwells in Zion, be not afraid of the Assyrian. He shall smite thee with a rod and shall lift up his staff against thee after the manner of Egypt. For yet a very little while, and the indignation shall cease, and mine anger in their destruction. So God's going to rise up, and he's going to be mad. When he rises up next time, he's going to be angry. And the Lord of hosts shall stir up a scourge for him according to the slaughter of Midian at the rock of Oreb. And as his rod was upon the sea, so shall he lift it up after the manner of Egypt. How is God going to do this? And it shall come to pass in that day that his burden shall be taken away from off thy shoulder, and his yoke from off thy neck, and the yoke shall be destroyed because of the anointing. He was the anointed cherub that covered. We are going after the devil's lost anointing. That's what beats him. He lost it. We're taking it back up And if we get his anointing, we'll have preeminence over him. It's the anointing that Hallel, Lucifer, and Satan lost that will break his yoke. What's he trying to fight you for? He don't want you to get to the anointing. He knows the anointing will break the yoke. That's why he don't want you to leave the world. That's why he wants you to be effeminate as a man. He wants you to be masculine as a woman. He knows that God can't do what? I can't anoint you if you're a man inside. I can't anoint you, man, if you're feminine inside. I didn't make you. The devil made you. He reformatted you after his image. He made you a sodomite. He wants to stop the anointing. That's the key. The only where you find God's kingdom is where you find the anointing. If the Holy Ghost can't flow there, it's not the kingdom of God. God's spirit flows where his kingdom abides. And God's kingdom won't flow where there's a perversion of life type. He's trying to mutate the human race so they won't receive the anointing. And the anointing of God on you will break the rod of perversion and imprisonment the devil has placed upon you. The anointing will break that yoke off of you. And what yoked you to the devil will be destroyed because of the anointing. So that's why you cry out, what? Hallelujah. I'm doing what this fool would not do, what he walked away from, because I'm going to receive the anointing of praise that he lost. It used to be a cherubim angel. Now it's the collective body of Christ doing it. The Bible says Jesus Christ will do what? Sing in the midst of his own congregation. He is going to lead the praise now. What Satan was is now taken up by the lordship of Jesus Christ through his church. He'll sing through his church, glorify the Father through the Son. It's infallible now. God's spirit is going to permeate everybody. It's the anointing. Church is set up to stop what? The anointing. Why do religions exist down here? Why are all these churches having service this morning? For one reason, to choke the people off so they won't receive the anointing. You can't see this? He sent these false preachers and these liars so you won't be anointed. You've been living through hell outside of the anointing. The decisions you made with no anointing. How you were led by the flesh with no anointing. Look at what you got into without the anointing. God's design is that as many as are of the kingdom of God and manifest the Son, if you're a son of God, you're led by the Spirit of God. The anointing will lead you. The anointing will teach you. That's what he's talking about when he says, you have no need that any man shall teach you. The anointing itself will teach you. It'll govern you. Man, if we ever get a hold of this, and we seek out a life that's going to be compatible with the anointing, you'll do what God requires by nature, not by compulsion. All you got to do is let the anointing take you over. And man, you'll see results. People will be saved. People will be healed and delivered. Demons will be cast out because of the anointing. Jesus is the Christ. He's the anointed. And everybody that's born again has an avenue into the anointing. Religion will not get you the anointing. Personal self-denial. You see how he lifted himself up, you go down. Just read in opposites. Whatever you see the devil do, do the opposite. I will ascend, I will decrease that you may increase. I'll just decrease. I'll go to the place of low esteem. I'll go to the lowest place that demerits up in. Perhaps I might be what? Called up higher. I look for nothing. I'm not trying to be anything. We're not somewhere trying to build some great grandiose ministry. We're trying to work with what's in front of us to perfect the people in front. If it was two people here, I preached the same message. Numbers don't mean a thing with God. Nothing. What's he after? The anointing. If he can find one guy that was bathed himself in that anointing, he'll destroy everything in this country that's anti-Christ and anti-God. Notice how God, he go and get one guy every time he had a big mission. Samuel, David, Moses. He didn't want to get like 5,000 people. Gideon, when he got a bunch of folk, he had to call them down. He always went and got a person to answer. That's why you need to determine, you know what? I am going to be that person. I am going to seek after the anointing. Separation, sanctification, spending my time in praise and worship and prayer, because I'm seeking. So I'm doing this with purpose. I'm after a heavy anointing. He'll pour out the Spirit. He says, if you're hungry and thirsty after righteousness, he's going to give you what you want. You'll be filled. It's how bad, how desperate you are. How badly do you want it? Or do you just want to hang around somewhere in Babylon, close to the edge, right over here by Babylon, still drinking down near hog slop like the prodigal son? Or do you want to forsake everything, stop thinking about this garbage, get your mind full of God's word, permeated in prayer, and lifting yourself up in praise, because you're displacing and replacing Hallel. You're replacing what was lost. Man, if you see the goal of God and why he's calling out the church, he wants a choir in heaven to magnify heaven. God is a musical being. How do you know? Man in his image is a musical being. You won't find humans anywhere that you won't find music. You can walk in any room, and I'll tell you what spirit that person is of. Know how I can do it? They listen to what music they're listening to. I hear the music, I'll tell you if they're demon-possessed or not. Because demons like what? A certain type of music. If you're in covenant with a demon, the appetite of that demon will transfer to you, and you'll listen to the music the demon likes. All that cussing and nasty talking and talking about sex and Nicki Minaj talking about oral sex like a dog and a girl that's sitting there driving down the street listening to it. I can tell you all about that girl. She's nasty. And she'll do any nasty thing you can name, because the music is going to permeate the environment, and something is being worshipped. And what's being worshipped is the demon that lives in her. God thrives. He bathes in the praises of his people. God indwells the praises of his people. That's where he thrives. You lift him up in praise, his presence will come. Because God wants that worship. He's a musical being. It's some mystery to music that we have not totally understood up to this point. There's something about a spirit that's musical. You gotta understand that. I believe a human is basically an instrument that's played by the Holy Ghost. He plays you before God. You notice how the instrumentation was inside of the devil before he fell, right? He had tabrets and he had all these different instruments in him, had pipes in him. I believe that a human's ability to sing and play instruments, and he's a musical being, makes him an instrument of praise, just like Lucifer was before he fell. There's a great mystery behind all of this. I mean, the other part of the mystery is, what makes God dwell in the midst of praise? What is it about music that just... it's just a fabric of it that draws God. If it's in his spirit, why is that music a drawing mechanism for God? And why does he begin to actually reveal himself and begin to permeate an environment where proper praise is offered to him? Mysteries about God and his musical essence. You know, I don't know what God is. We don't know what he's made up of. We don't know if he's a musical being. You don't know if he's actually made up of music and mathematics. I mean, who knows? But it sure is funny how much stuff we can determine through math. You see how many mysteries in the universe are determined by math? Something is going on here. We need to probe. See, this is the kind of stuff I think about all day. I'm probing to find out the mysteries of God, to find out, who am I really dealing with here? I really want to know him in a deeper way. And I figure if I hang around long enough and probe long enough and ask sincere questions, he might just answer me. He might just give me a revelation of the deeper mysteries of what makes him tick. You know, you ought to be enthralled with God enough to want to know some stuff about God, want to be around God, try to talk to God all the time, try to find out something about God, trying to get some insight into God. There's something that the devil understands about music and the human spirit and what it can do to the human spirit. That Joker got this stuff down pat because he's a maestro. He's a master of it. And what he knows and what we don't know is causing him to rain down havoc on us because we're ignorant to it. It's a mystery behind the music. You got to change the music that surrounds your atmosphere. The chaos of hip hop and rap and all that stuff brought into the church is detrimental to your spiritual development because it's not invoking the presence of God. Bluegrass won't do it. Country and Western won't do it. Rock and roll won't do it. You need praise and worship. He told you what he desires. Psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs making melody in your heart to the Lord. There's something about that heart that should be melodious, flowing. Notice how when somebody brings something contrary into your soul, you feel the static inside of you. You feel how you get the melody, the harmony, all the things that are musical about you get disrupted. You get chaotic inside. You're getting all anxiety stricken. And see, all that stuff right there is messing up flow. You can't let anybody bring what into the environment?
Discord.
Another word, disharmony. Think about it now. You get these singers up here and somebody's flat, you know what's going to do? What's going to be disrupted?
Harmony.
There's no, you off key. And the only person you'll hear is the flat person. Praise ye the Lord in the heaven. And everybody like, well, I would they shut up and go somewhere and sit down. That'd be sound terrible. God has to not only collect the church, he's got to harmonize the church. Everybody got to be functioning in their assigned place, and it's got to be harmonious. So there's no discord, no dysfunction. God, the Bible says God hates someone that does what?
Sows
discord. You're messing up the harmony of the instrumentation he's designed to praise him. This thing is about God collecting a symphony and an orchestra together along with a choir that's going to function in harmony. One of our goals is to build a 400 voice choir and a 37 to 38 piece orchestra to back it up. And I figure that's 90% of the job deal. Preaching and teaching is easy at that point. Just blow the doors off with praise and worship. You basically go home after that. What? You know what I'm saying? You came in heavy with burdens. The praise and worship blew it all off of you. You know, it's like that guy sitting in front of those bowl speakers and all the hair blowing over me. All the devil's been blown off of you. You just walk out there. I'm free. I feel good. I'm refreshed now. That's what we got to have, y'all. In the midst of the battle, you got to shout out, hallelujah. Anyhow, I'm replacing and displacing Hallel. I'm taking your place, buddy. I'm moving in where you left and vacated. I am the instrument of God's praise. Father, we thank you for this time of sharing. Thank you for the word of God. God, take these words, quicken them to the hearts of the hearers. Change us into the instrumentation necessary to be vessels fit for the master to use. I believe that word is talking about instruments for the master to play.
Yes.
You want to be an instrument to play.
Yes.
So that you can now indwell your body musically. What the devil lost, we are bringing back. What the devil forsook and profaned, we are making holy. We're separated from his defiling elements to be made into instruments of praise, able to lift our hands and say hallelujah anyhow to the Most High God. If you would, stand to your feet. By way of live stream and here today, we pray this prayer over you. A prayer of dedication. There are a lot of different prayers in the Bible. Supplication, dedication, a lot of warfare prayers, a lot of different kind of prayers you can pray. But we pray a prayer of dedication that people really turn back to God.
Yes.
With their whole hearts.
Yes.
And just become vessels fit for him to use.
Yes.
I believe if you study the Bible very carefully, when they went into Jericho, you march around that wall and then you shout. And you break that picture and the light shines forth. A broken vessel, the shouting. bringing walls down. Yes. It's time to be vessels yes. that are put on the front line yes. as a witness.
Yes, Lord Jesus.
The only way this ministry will actually see members produce members and see people saved is if people become personal vessels fit for the master to use.
Yes,
bathe yourself in the appropriate music. That's a big deal. It sounds like it's a small thing. You forsake all the sounds of the world, all the TV and all the movies and all the stuff of the world, and just spend time bathing yourself in me. I used to walk around, I still do, with headphones in my ears. When I'm driving around, just having that praise word just blowing into my ear, just pounding it in my ear, as loud as I can get it. When I get out anywhere I'm at, I'm gone. I'm like somebody just in another dimension. I don't even know what y'all talking about. I'm gone. You do that to yourself every day and see how you'll be. Folks will come to you with a bunch of junk. Hey, man, I want to hear that. You interrupt them. You know, I'm straight inside. I'm right. And when you started talking, I could feel the energy of that mess coming out of your mouth about to mess me up. I'm straight. I got myself straight, and here you come. Don't talk to me. I don't care about your problems. I don't hear nothing about your kids. I don't hear nothing about what you've been through. I don't hear none of that stuff you've been through. Pray about it, man. But yeah. Go pray about it over there somewhere. Because I got myself right. I've been fine-tuned. Because I've been bathing myself in thanksgiving, praise, and worship. Father, right now I dedicate these to you, God. I ask you to bless them and lift them up to another dimension in you. God, forsaking all things that are binding us. The sins that so easily beset us. Everybody has easily besetting sins. Everybody got a different thing that they were in that were binding them. That they know they got to overcome for themselves. To him that overcometh, you'll give to them to sit in your seat with you and your Father.
Yes.
God, there is a way that seemeth right unto a man,
yes.
but the end thereof is destruction.
Yes.
A prayer of dedication, God,
yes.
that these folks will actually take this thing seriously enough to do something about it.
Yes.
It's not just in word, it's in deed.
Yes.
We've got to physically take these size 10 shoes and move. And walk away from the filth.
Yes,
leave
yes.
behind that which is defiling. Not just repent, but forsake
yes.
everything that will make us defile.
Jesus.
The devil is full of profanity.
Yes.
Friends that profane people.
Yes.
Environments that profane people.
Yes, Lord.
Old relationships that defile people.
Yes, Lord.
I got a boyfriend that defiled me. I got a girlfriend that defiled me. The filthy things I did with them defiled me. Old memories, old circumstances, old covenants cuts that defile me. Man, it's time to move on to higher ground. People got curses coming in on their kids because they won't forsake the world. Boy ending up a homosexual because I won't forsake the world. Girl ending up a lesbian because I still hang around the world. God, it's time to make up our minds once and for all to forsake everything to know the Lord Jesus Christ and be made into his image. This is a prayer of dedication, consecration. We got to walk in it, God, this time. We got to see changes made in Jesus' name. Amen. Just going to wrap it up for this week, y'all. Remember prayer, fasting. Remember the prayer line every night, 1-805-399-1000. Access code 409367. Remember, Dunamis Tabernacle still soliciting funds for Dunamis Tabernacle. Still looking for people to rise up. Fella called me, I think it was Wednesday. Was it Wednesday? No, Thursday. Said, Pastor Price, I've been listening to these messages. They're changing me. I've been metamorphosized by them. I mean, it's a different thing. I mean, I'm a different person. This thing has been taking hold of me. So I'm a principal in a school. So I want to help, you know, do what I can. So I'm going down to Western Union right now and sending $800 to the ministry. Right now, I'm gone. He sent it at 11. It was here by 12. What I'm saying is this. All it takes is 1,000 of those kind of people and we're up and running. This thing is broadcast around the world. It don't take all of that. I'm almost convinced that this thing can't be done in Atlanta. You got to get people imported into Atlanta from other places to do this because this is such a religious city. That these folks so bound, you got to get an atomic bomb assembled from around the world. You see, the government here, they say they're assembling an atomic bomb down there. Yes, but it's not a physical atomic bomb. It's a Holy Ghost atomic bomb. And see, a lot of folks, the same guy said, me and my wife have been discussing moving there. We got to get out of here and do it. We got to go where the Lord is. That's what comes into you when you say, man,
that's right.
That's the truth.
Amen.
Yep. I'm going to buy the truth and sell it not.
You,
I want to be in on this.
Yes,
that's the way I was when I first got saved. I went wherever it was at.
Yeah.
I traveled all over the country talking about, hey, this is where something's going down. I want to be there. Hagerwish Baptist Church was casting out demons up in Illinois. I was in Illinois, man, sleeping on the street. Going to the church on Sunday morning, fresh off the street, ragged and nasty. Trying to see some demons cast out. Trying to find out about this deliverance thing. Some folks talk about it. Other folks are going to be about it. So, hey, if you're called to this, I don't care where you live. Hey, this is ground zero. I think this is going to be Corinth before it's over. And this is where you want to jump off. I want to find out where Satan's seat is and set up right beside him. And say, here we are. The devil right here. We're right here. Now, we got it. Elijah didn't back away from the false prophets. Elijah went for a confrontation.
That's right.
Stop running from the devil and look for a confrontation.
Yes.
You're not going to get salvation void of conflict. Salvation means confrontation. It's two voices always crying out here. We got to be the one that has power. It's not going to really jump off until the signs and wonders and the gifts begin to manifest. When those gifts come alive and you see signs and wonders, the world is going to ramp up this anger to a high level. They're going to be furious. See, because they can talk back and forth with y'all. The devil likes discussions and debates. But when you stop talking, see, when the church stops talking and begins to demonstrate, the devil is in a frenzy now. I don't know what to do. What he's most afraid of is, I'll keep saying this and the other ministers will keep saying this until somebody buys in and believes it and does something about it and they really get transformed. Because he knows when you get full of the Holy Ghost and you got attestational signs following you and power is permeating you, he got only one choice. I got to kill that vessel. And the church grew in Acts as the people were martyred. Church grows on the back of martyrdom. But you got power. When you're martyred under the right spirit, you don't care about your life anyway. You lost your life a long time ago. The devil is terrified that somebody will believe this enough to do something about it, present their bodies as a sacrifice for real, get full of the Holy Ghost, and God begins to attest to the fact that you paid the price by confirming your words with signs following. He's terrified of that. Terrified of it. And that's what we got to seek after with everything we got. Think in your mind, I'm here to replace and displace Satan, what he lost. Jesus brought back what he took not away. He opened the avenue for praise and worship and the music of God to be played before his throne. That's been left behind and not present after the fall of Lucifer. That's what's missing in heaven. That's the void in heaven. And we're restoring that void. And you can do it while on earth right now. Begin the process and man will begin to lift you out of here. Get some good music and bathe yourself. And it's like washing yourself every day in it to stay clear from the devil's defiling elements. So remember Dunamis Tabernacle. You can send any gifts for Dunamis Tabernacle to www.omegaministers.org. Hit support, then donate. Support, then donate. Last thing, we're planning a men's retreat the last weekend in October in the mountains. We've got some guys going to begin to formulate a Facebook page and a page in order for you to sign up so we can get a head count over the next 2 months. So by October 1st, we know how many people are going so we can get the right cabins. See, some cabins can see this sleep as many as how many people? Well, some of these cabins sleep up to 80 people. But, you know, we can always get, we used to get like several cabins and meet in one. But there's a lot of ways to do it, but we need a head count. So if you plan on going, it'll be coming up information on the World Wide Web here this week for you to sign up and say you're going. Don't come with maybe. If you maybe, don't sign up. We're talking about people that are going. Should be about $100 that have to be prepaid immediately when you commit to going. That's going to be kept separate so we can get the cabin situated and the food set up. And we'll bring the food. Don't worry about that. We just want to get you there to the cabin so we can get some guys locked away in the mountains for a couple of days and deal with stuff that is germane to a man being made into a man again. If you got a bunch of stuff in you about being some kind of a patriotic man that's waving an American flag and trying to be a person with a gun trying to do something or going to march on Washington and all of that, don't come. Don't come. We're not talking to you. We're talking about folks that want to be renovated inside to be full of the Holy Ghost to do a spiritual work. All of you angry at the government and angry at homosexuals and angry at the church and angry at your mama or angry at whoever you're angry at, angry with Obama, whoever you're angry with, don't come. Don't come, because we're not talking to you. We're talking about guys that want to get full of the Holy Ghost and go supernatural and super appointed and anointed by God to do a spiritual work. This is a spiritual war against spiritual entities. They are metaphysical, supernatural, extraterrestrial, and interdimensional. Anything in the flesh is useless. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal. Your anger worketh not the righteousness of God. So if you're mad at the government or mad at some other entity or you're mad trying to prove something, just go, you and the other mad folk, go over there in the wilderness and get yourself a militia or whatever you're going to do and fight that natural carnal war. I'm talking to spiritual people who are willing to take on a spiritual war to destroy the devil's yokes off of people. That's what it's all about. We'll see you back here next week. Get some people that you know, minister to them, lead them to the Lord, and begin to be a disciple for Jesus Christ. Have a blessed week. And stay in that praise and worship. That was good. We had some better, wasn't it?